It's the middle of June, another episode of Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop across the ring and across the pond for NXT and NXT UK content. Flobo Boys here, one of the co-hosts of the show, this award-winning show. I think it's that one there. That one. There he goes. Mirrors, baby. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by somebody who, more importantly, besides the fact he knows the difference between his right and his left, can be seen at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, the Mac Mania podcast, and his own Twitch channel at twitch.tv/realjackfarmer. Please welcome the real Jack Farmer.
I think that either award that you point to works for us. I think that's fair on either account, whether it be the NXT Championship or the actual podcasting award. As always, it's a treat to be here, Flobo. I can't tell my right from my left either, and I mean that wholeheartedly. I struggle with it every time, but I got a big weekend for me personally. I'm doing Santino Brothers Play Around Lay Around tomorrow on Friday. Yeah. As I'm doing broadcasting there. I'm doing Influencer Fight League on Saturday, and I got Championship Wrestling on Tuesday. I'm a busy body.
That's definitely true. If you guys want to be in the Southern California area and get yourself a nice photo with the host of Draped in Gold, we'll be at the Irvine Improv this Tuesday, June 21st, for Champion Wrestling from Hollywood. But please, 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 I'm no flash photography. I have sensitive eyes. You know how that goes. I got the GA tickets. I'll be way in the back.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I just said that. I'm going to be there because I think I got shamed by Josh Richardson on Twitter. They support your homies. And I go, you know what? I always tell people to support the homie referring to me. What that would be, but I can't support my homie Jack Farmer. So I got the cheapest tickets possible, but I'll be in the back live on June 21st.
Nice. Well, it'll be cool to see you there. I believe my Evolution of Movies pal, Andy Rossi, will be there that day.
Is he going to be in the back with me, or you got actually decent tickets?
He's probably going to be in the back.
Hell yeah, baby. Woo! Speaking of supporting the homies, before I get into everything, I gotta say that we do have an American Announced Team shirt. I gotta make sure I put that out on top now because I do feel like we've been victims of gimmick infringement. We'll get to that in just a bit. Learn more at bit.ly/drapedandgold. But let's get into our main event first, which wasn't even a main event. Trent Seven, someone that Jack Farmer's been saying for a long, long time is a ne'er-do-well, does a thing. He basically hits poor Tyler Bate in his little Ghiblis, and Mustache Mountain is no more. Jack Farmer, do you see this one coming? Or you thought maybe Tyler Bate would be the one to turn antagonist?
I thought this was such a brilliant and emotional display. And I think I kind of
brilliant.
I think I echo what everyone's thinking here as I'm watching this. I'm saying to myself, Trent says, from the top of Mustache Mountain to the bottom of my heart, thank you. And I thought, you know, obviously, Trent, you're welcome. I'm always here to support you. Thank you for everything you've done. But I think the emotion that we all felt, the real thing that really resonated with us as this happened was that we were saying to ourselves, thank you. Thank God that Trent Seven appears to not be allowing Tyler Bate to be the one to end his career, to not allow someone like Tyler Bate to throw out the legendary career of Trent Seven because Tyler Bate didn't have what it took to remain a champion. I am so glad that Trent Seven took things into his own hands like he always has in the past and is continuing to fight on. Trent Seven, you are a hero to all of us.
First things first, Lamb is right when he says, viewers on Twitter and YouTube, please subscribe and watch Flobo on Twitch. He needs to become an affiliate. Learn more at twitch.tv/FloboBoys. And second of all, come now, Jack Farmer. You know for weeks that Trent Seven has been trying so hard to do things the wrong way, taking shortcuts, and he's out here blubbering in the middle of the ring. And somehow he's the victim to all this?
blubbering. The guy did everything he could to be a champion, which is what being a pro wrestler is all about, being a champion. And the fact that he carried his partner, Tyler Bate,
carried.
To the tippity top of Mustache Mountain,
carried
him to championship after championship. Trent Seven blubbering. The guy is a legend. He's on the Mount Rushmore of UK wrestlers, if that makes any sense. And I think that the fact that you're saying he's blubbering, when the guy just denied the Grim Reaper, he just denied Father Time and said, no, I'm not done, because I'm not going to let Tyler Bate be the one to dictate my legacy. I think it was just a brilliant and really inspiring display by Trent Seven tonight.
My new best friend, Lamb, says, they all say what a great wrestler Pete Dunne, Butch, and Tyler Bate are. Trent Seven is the best storyteller of all three of British Strong Style. Gregory, or disagree?
I want to say right off the bat that I loved the little bit about him saying, you, me, and the other guy.
Yeah, three tenors.
That was a fun wink, wink, nudge, nudge moment. But Trent Seven is an incredible storyteller. He's someone that I think you look at all the things he's done, obviously, but I always go back to going towards the cruiserweight title and the story he was able to tell and that journey he went on. And now this journey of him helping his friend become a tag team champion and helping his friend hold on to those titles, only for the friend to stab him in the back, I think was an emotional roller coaster. And again, I think that we all as fans should be very excited that Trent Seven is still going.
Final thought on this one. You all know when tag teams implode in NXT UK, nothing really good comes out of it. The Big Strong Boy has done it all except for defeat his friend in the middle of the ring on an episode of NXT UK. Is that in the cards, or do you think something else amiss or afoot?
I don't think you can stop a Trent Seven. I think he's shown us over the years that, especially recently, that he's going to find a way to win. And that's what it really comes down to when you look at competition, is finding ways to win. And Trent Seven really has been better at that than just about anybody. So I think if these two do have a match, I don't know if Tyler Bate deserves a match with Trent Seven after everything he's done to Trent Seven. But if they were to have a match, I think I'm always going to pick the guy who can always find a way to win.
Fine. Wheel 5 Stud says he wants NXT UK takeovers. And I say takeovers are dead brand. They don't really exist anymore. But we have to move on. Rest in peace, takeovers. We hardly need to be. I'm not sure what other pay-per-views you really bring up for UK. Capital Carnage, Mayhem in Manchester. No idea. Let's talk about some of the imports. We got some notes that we have some NXT 2.0 people coming across the pond. First things first, let's talk about Sarai. Sarai is someone that came with a lot of fanfare to NXT 2.0 about 2 years ago, if you could believe it. But somehow, it didn't work out for her. But now she's heading over to NXT UK, where there is a, quote, noted Japanese presence in Mako Satomura. What do you make of this one?
I think it's going to be fun. She's a great wrestler. That's what we knew her for when she came over to NXT 2.0. And I think when you look at the talent that is known for being great wrestlers, you always see them shine the most when they take their talents on the road and take their talents across the globe. And this is kind of going to kind of play right into that. So I think we're going to see her at her best.
Question: does that mean that the NXT Women's Championship is the top women's championship? People are flying over, commuting to challenge.
I think when you have a champion like Mako Satomura, who is such a legend, that title or no, people are going to want to have that match with her. So the fact that she has the title, I think you could make a very strong argument that she is the women's champion.
Also announced: Briggs and Jensen and Fallon Henley, which I do adore, is coming to NXT UK. And it was a little difficult for me to watch. To see these people gallivanting in front of the camera, trying to get talent for the tag team championships. They are bringing in full-blooded Americanness. Jack, what do you make of that? Because frankly, I was steamed. I was miffed. I was perturbed.
You know, I had the baseball game on the radio while I was eating my American pie and watching this interview. And I could not believe that these guys went and completely ripped off our American announced team moves and our American announced team gimmick. They should know that we're the rootinist, tootinist, straight shootinist duo in the world, and that we should be the ones bringing the yeehaw to the UK.
So I got to put you on the spot. Next week, the challenge is Ready and Forward for the NXT UK title. Are you going to vote against your countrymen and go the Ready and Forward for a change?
For a change? For a change. I always cheer for the champion.
No, you didn't. You never did. Until he actually won. Then you did.
No, I didn't say I always cheer for Ready and Forward. I always cheer for the champions. That's.
I see how it is. You just sell out no matter who it is. I'll sell out for everybody. The price is right.
The king is dead. Long live the king. That's how. That's
wow. How Jack's a heel. Forget kayfabe words. You are a heel. That's the biggest one.
I mean, it's funny. It's hard not to root for the Americans, but these guys stole our thing. But at the same time, I think, what's more American than taking something from someone less known than you and using it for yourself?
I always say Hydrox came out first, but everyone wants an Oreo. So you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter if you're first. It matters if you're best.
I mean, the only thing at this point, I'm just going to go get in my SUV and drive. So drive using a bunch of gasoline. And
you know. So wait, baseball, pie, SUV. What's next, man? This is my 38 special and Leonard Skinner CD.
Yeah, I'm going to put my Leonard Skinner CD on. I'm going to fly the flag. I'm going to shoot off fireworks.
Not even July yet. Speaking of imports, here's a match I really want to talk to you about. And we talked about this a little bit before. Last Legend had a match against Myla Grace. Myla Grace's record, to my knowledge, is 1-1 on NXT UK. But I need to know this. Why does Last Legend look and feel so rank and file on Tuesday nights, but is damn near Roman Reigns on Thursdays?
You know, we watch this, you're right. She stands out so much on NXT UK. And what I was thinking as I was watching this is she has an athletic background. And when I say that, I'm not just saying she's athletic, but she played basketball. She's played sports. So I think what we're seeing here is her understanding that what great athletes do is they take opportunities to travel and play in other places. This seems very similar to a basketball player going to play in Europe. This seems very similar to athletes who go and travel and work on their craft in different countries and become better. And then I think what's going to happen is she's going to learn so much here, and she's going to really find that presence here, and she's going to bring it back stateside later. I think this, like I said, this is just what athletes do, is they go and they take their opportunities when they have downtime in their other divisions or leagues, and they go to other countries and they work on it. I think this is very, very straightforward game plan from an athlete.
I said it before and I'll say it again. That theme song's a banger. What I like. So, Myla Grace was a very, very game opponent, but Last Legend came out of nowhere with a pump kick. And even though we don't really know the terms of this talent exchange, it seems that people come for a match or two. I think Damon Kemp is the longest tenured one so far in UK. Would you keep Last Legend across that pond then? Or would you say, you know what, you learned what you could, now it's time to come back to 2.0?
I think Satan and Sid should be figuring out a way to keep her there long term, because we keep saying it every time she's out there. She just seems to be really hitting on all cylinders when she's out there on NXT UK, and she's really standing out and she's really doing well. I think that this is one of those things, if we're talking about trades and we compare it to other sports, I think this is where you say she is a fit for their scheme. She is someone who I think is going to fit in very well, and she fills a need that maybe 2.0 doesn't have that need, but it's a need that UK does, and I think it'd be a great fit for her.
Yeah, and chat about it, Grace, giving me old school candy floss mixed with Zaya Brookside vibes. Very, very energetic. I actually had another word in my notes, and I realized it's kind of a bad word in England, so I won't say it out loud for our British. I had spunky, which is not, which isn't the word you want to say. We're canceled. All right. So speaking of British things, the British family, Blair Davenport is coming back. And since I don't live tweet NXT UK anymore, you loser, I looked at you tweeting about
I'm a loser. What?
You're a loser. You were like, stop live tweeting. You were the menace to society. No. I love bringing entertainment to the masses. Get out of my face.
Learn to read, Flobo. Yeah.
You said you better stop posting 5 minutes early, even though you work so hard to have all these notes crafted. And you want to be able to have content out there for the NXT UK universe, because if it's up for you, it must be up for a lot of Americans. And you said, stop doing that. So I did.
What you're hearing is Flobo values being in the know before everyone else more than a sense of community and camaraderie.
Well, I mean, you took all the apple pie, so I have to do something American. Blair Davenport's on the way back. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I feel like just seeing this video, I don't even know what the actual return timetable is, but just seeing this, I immediately thought, I need to see her in the ring with Mako Satomura. I need to see a title match. When you have someone who has been off TV for so long, and you just see a video package and you're immediately thinking of title implications, that shows how big of a star you are. Blair Davenport was born for championships, and I think that this is the final boss versus someone born for this. I think is just printing money.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's a match I feel like was unfinished business. Lamb had a point about another issue a little bit before. It says it's like double college education for the talent exchange between NXT and NXT UK. NXT UK is for in-ring study. NXT 2.0 is for being a sports entertainment thing. And I am glad you mentioned that because, hold on real quick. He also says, yeah, Flo spoiled me for months about NXT UK. Yeah. You know what, Lamb? I did it for you. I did it for us. Okay.
Speaking of the differences between America and the UK, imagine having two college educations.
Yeah, no thanks.
That's after I was done eating my apple pie, I paid my student loan.
No, that's not American. I'm still paying for mine.
paid my student loan and my medical bills.
Fair. Talent Exchange. Damon Kemp teaming with Wolfgang, not Puck, against Shawn Samuels and Noam Dar. And in my notes, even though Damon Kemp has been a former MVP of NXT winner on the show, there's some things he can work on. I think this is a perfect use case of this, because not only did we see the running the ropes, we saw some of the amateur grappling, we saw some of the joint manipulation. My question for you is, for a lot of our amateur wrestlers coming down the pipe with the NIL and signings and all that, would NXT UK be the perfect finishing school for them?
I think that if you can survive in NXT UK, you can survive anywhere. If you can make it happen there, you can be, I mean, it's definitely a trial by fire over there, because they're going to run you over at NXT UK. So the idea of it is great, but you're probably going to wash out a lot of people if they go through NXT UK first. Mm-hmm. So that might be a good thing, because they sign a lot of people and you can say, look, if you can survive here, you'll be okay. So potentially, but I also think that I think you'd have to be very picky about who you send over there. I don't think everyone could go over there, because you also, if you bring in a bunch of people who just aren't ready for that level of competition and physicality, then we're going to see a bunch of people get steamrolled every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think if you're a Kemp who comes from a family of very talented wrestlers and trains with Diamond Mind, the very best in the business at training people, then you can do that. But I think if you just have, hey, this person used to be a volleyball player, let's put him in the ring with Blair Davenport, you're going to see a lot of people get hurt.
Speaking of, Noam Dar, Shawn Samuels, you know, they seem to be a pretty cohesive unit. I think Noam is still the Heritage Cup champion, but he never defends that thing. Wasn't a match.
Yeah, he's defended it more than most people have.
I don't know what you're talking about. I forgot he was the Heritage Cup champion, because I'm bad at my job. And he doesn't defend the title a lot. Okay.
I mean, he's beaten everyone in the division, right? He's kind of at Roman Reigns level now, where that's why he doesn't defend it all the time, because there's no one left.
You can imagine Roman Reigns having a bookie. Okay. Anyway, that's about it.
Are you implying that Paul Heyman doesn't bet on Roman Reigns matches?
You know what?
I bet he absolutely does.
I want to see that. I want to see Paul Heyman and Shawn Samuels do numbers in a back room somewhere. That would be so cool.
That would actually be a really fun segment.
The match. Thoughts about the match, dude.
Dude, you've lost. This one's already gone off the rails.
It's like, I was here. The question I had was there. Just
I was thinking as I was watching this, Damon Kemp always seems like he's having a great time when he's out there, which is always good to see. Wolfgang, I think, proves again that he is a super talent and is awesome. Obviously, Shaw Samuels and Noam Dar, though, are really the team to be looking at. And maybe they don't have time to defend that Heritage Cup because Noam Dar and Shaw Samuels should be going after those tag team titles.
No.
This was a really fun match at first. I just wish that the referee showed the same energy for stopping Wolfgang on the outside as he did for Noam Dar. I have no facts to back this up, and it's a baseless claim, but yes. Wolfgang has been intimidating the referees, and you're seeing now how it's starting to affect the matches.
And how is he intimidating the referees, Jack?
I told you I have no facts to back up the baseless claim, but I think I can say with absolute assuredness that this is happening.
So if you have no facts, but say extra pronounced, it counts.
You are focusing on the wrong parts of what I'm saying, Flobo. What I'm saying is that Wolfgang is clearly bullying these people. And I think that you can see that they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing because of Wolfgang.
He's clearly, citation needed, bullying people, not really confirmed. That's what you're saying.
I don't know why you're whispering on your breath. I'm just saying that there's no evidence to back up the claim that Wolfgang is intimidating the referees and someone needs to stop it.
Damon Kemp gets to win over Shaw Samuels. What's next for Damon?
Well, what's next is I think next week he has a tag team match in NXT 2.0, right?
No, yes, but I mean like as far literally, yes, he has a match. But Damon Kemp, we sung his praises. What's next for him? Do you want him in the tag team division? Do you want to keep him out on his own? Do you want him to break out eventually? What do you see him as a performer?
I'd like to see him break out on his own in NXT UK. I'd like to see him stand on his own a little bit. I'd also like to see Wolfgang stand on his own a little bit. I think Wolfgang's been one of those guys that we both would agree has sort of been ready to make the jump to some singles gold or to do some singles work. He always seems like he's just right there. But he always finds himself being caught up, I think, with a team of some kind for whatever reason. And so I'd like to see Wolfgang go on his own. I'd also like to see Damon Kemp for similar reasons, but at different points in their career go off on their own, if that makes sense.
It always makes sense when you say it, Jack.
And finally, right, like the unfounded accusations that Wolfgang has been attacking referees. And
something tells me you clip that out. You're going to clip out the part where you say it's unfounded and you're totally speculating. That's what I'm thinking. It's really speculation. That Wolfgang's a menace. Right. Yes. And finally,
this might
tonight,
not be true, but Wolfgang has been going out of his way to cause problems with officials.
Justice for Wolfie. Tiger Tarrant was in action today against Josh Morrell, which is a friend of the show. At least I'm a big fan of Josh Morrell. Due to a wayward splash, I had to go back and rewatch it. It was a no contest. And Jack, we're not talking about this before going live. Such a hard-hitting style. NXT UK. It doesn't take a lot to cause someone not being able to compete, but it's still scary to see those crossed arms from a referee.
Yeah, this was Josh Morrell. Funny enough, I was saying just as the match was starting, he looks like he's really hit the gym. He looked like he's been getting in great shape, and I was excited to see him in this match. But this is one of those great examples of just how dangerous wrestling is and how hard wrestling can be. And I think that you see this and it was a crossbody off the top rope. We see it all the time. It's a dangerous move, but we see it all the time. Yet it reminds us that even these moves, all of them can be dangerous. And that's why they say don't try it at home, but also just shows how tough a lot of these guys are for dealing with this kind of stuff week in and week out. Hope Josh Morrell's okay. You never want to see a match end that way, but it's obviously the right thing to do is to stop it. And hopefully he's okay.
A lot of head injuries you could possibly get. And I remember going back to Blair Davenport's match of her rolling her ankle or breaking her ankle or shattering her ankle, I believe. It's never pleasant to see it or hear, but NXT UK doesn't shy away from it. There was no cutaway to anything else. There was no way it took a time to let's assess. And I think the sports presentation of NXT UK really benefited there to really underscore how tough it is to be a fighter on that brand.
Yeah, it's there. We were saying you see things happen on NXT quite a bit because they are so hard hitting and they do so much and it is so rough over there. And that's one of the things as fans you love to see, but also one of the casualties of that. Again, I hope Josh Morrell's okay. Best case scenario, what I hope is that they got backstage and they said, hey, false alarm, everything's okay, and you'll be able to get right back at it.
Any final thoughts before we move on to 2.0?
This was a very interesting episode. This was the kind of episode that it had some good stuff in it. I think the Shaw Samuels, Noam Dar, Wolfgang, Damon Kemp match of the episode. But this was definitely more of a glimpse into what the future of NXT UK is going to look like for the coming weeks, with the idea of new wrestlers coming in from the United States and obviously stuff going with Trent Seven and Tyler Bate. I think Tyler Bate, Trent Seven could turn into one of the most interesting things in NXT UK for a very long time.
And that's something I'm all about. Let's talk about our main event on 2.0. Besides the fact that Apollo can see the future, this was kind of cool. The six-woman tag match, Toxic Attraction against Cora Jay, Indy Hartwell, and Roxanne Perez. The reason why I bring this up after what happened with Josh Morrell is that at the end of this match, it looked like Dolan was injured the way it was ended. Just want to say that she's okay. As far as you can tell, she has competed since then, since this episode was pre-recorded. But that aside, Women's Division, Toxic Attraction is on top of that mountain there, jacked forward, but for how long? It seems everyone from all angles want to take down the It Girl, of NXT 2.0.
This match was all about hypocrisy, Flo.
What?
Hypocrisy. Everyone's coming at Toxic Attraction like they're the mean girls, like they're bad people, like they're jerks. Yet I watched, and throughout this entire episode, all I saw was Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade just rubbing the face of Indy Hartwell that she wasn't good enough to be one of them. Even in victory, they were hugging each other and excited to be winners together, yet they excluded Indy Hartwell the entire time. They didn't want to include her. They made her feel left out. It was nothing but negativity. Why are we talking about Toxic Attraction all this time, saying they're the bad ones when they always support each other? They're always there for each other. Yet then we talk about Cora Jade and we talk about Roxanne Perez and how great they are, yet here they are bullying Indy Hartwell. It was sickening to see. And I think everyone should feel ashamed of themselves for empowering them.
Is it not established that one, Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez are friends, and two, Indy Hartwell doesn't feel she has a place since she lost her best friend and her lover? I mean, that's a little bit of Indy's problem as well, is it not?
Oh, yeah, you've lost a lot of things. We're already friends. Thanks, though, Indy. You can't sit with us. Yeah, sounds like a cool couple people.
Sounds like life, doesn't it?
Sounds like jerks. Sounds like we shouldn't. Sounds like we shouldn't be talking about them as the heroes. Toxic Attraction, though, could you imagine if Gigi was going through trouble? Do you think Toxic Attraction would say you can't sit with us? No, they would say, "Oh my gosh, Gigi, let's make you feel better." In fact, they go to the beach together. They try to make each other feel better and are helpful to each other and kind. I don't know why everyone treats Toxic Attraction like the bad guys when you've got people like Cora Jade, you got people like Roxanne Perez that, not verbally, but through their actions, imply you're not good enough.
They are literally calling themselves toxic. One, two, no one can get in their table. It's only those three girls are insular. That's the very definition of a gang or a clique. So the whole women's roster can't even approach them. And they have the good guys here?
Toxic? You don't know? They call themselves toxic because they're Britney Spears fans. It was going to be Hit Me. They were going to be the Hit Me Baby One More Time attraction before they decided on Toxic.
They were
going to be the womanizer attraction they went with toxic. You didn't know? That's crazy.
I didn't know. I guess I should have called somebody. I had no idea they were Britney Spears fans. That was the entire.
That's what you know. What? That's why they dressed with it. It's a Britney Spears tribute group.
Speaking of tributes, we had the debut of Giovanni Vinci, and he had a match against Guru Raj, which is a staple of NXT Level Up, but hasn't had the best record on 2.0. Giovanni Vinci reminds me a lot of that Fabian Aichner fellow, but it couldn't be because Giovanni has a beard. Jack, let me ask you this. Giovanni Vinci, you're impressed, on board, holding, buying that stock, selling that stock?
Do you think that he's Fabian Aichner just because his facial hair is different?
I see a resemblance. You know,
you're probably one of those guys that thinks Ezekiel and Elias are the same person too. But in any case,
they have a very similar nose. You know that.
It's similar, but they're brothers, so it makes sense. Giovanni, I always liked Fabian Aichner. I've always liked this guy. I think he's a great wrestler. I think this will give him a chance to stand out. The spirit bomb to win. Spirit bomb is one of my favorite moves, so I liked seeing that. And that one looked like a rough one. I'm sold on him. At least sold on seeing more of him.
Yeah. What do you think it's about?
I don't think this is anything that, like, we didn't see enough so far for me to be like, this is who the guy is. You know what I mean?
I don't want to poo-poo at anyone's parade. I thought going into this, and maybe you can help me out with this because you're way more astute than I am. You're the brains of the operation. I thought it was kind of like I won't say like Del Rio, but a person that appreciates the fine things in life. Fancy cars, nice watches, and all that stuff. But when he came down to the ring, not saying they're mutually exclusive, it was almost like he was a fashionista as well. I'm not really sure. I know he's Italian, but I don't really know what. Do I cheer for Vinci? I don't, we don't cheer or boo people at 2.0 either. I'm not sure what he's about. If there's anything you can pull for me, let me know. Bring me along.
I think that right now, this was his first time out. And I think that means we're still figuring some of those kinks out. I like, for instance, the entrance. As a fan, I'm watching this and I'm saying to myself, I like the entrance. I like that it does the freeze frame photos. Thought they maybe lingered a little too long before moving on. But those are things that I think he's still figuring out in his entrance, and he's probably going to tweak a lot of that. And we're probably going to get more information on who he is down the line. So this was really, I think, more a matter of letting us hear his entrance music, see his entrance, get the first taste of that, and see what he's like in the ring. I think a lot of those things are going to be updated and smoothed out over the coming weeks.
Fair enough. Let's talk about four men who are figuring things out for different reasons. Joe Gacy's crew, the Dyad, which there's rumors swirling of who they might be, against Dante Chen and Javier Bernal. Now, if you have not seen NXT Level Up, it's kind of cool to check it every once in a while. Javier Bernal's promises the summer of Javi, but he doesn't have a good record. And Dante Chen, it seemed 6 months ago, was going to be the guy to come out in that second wave of NXT 2.0 graduates, has had a pretty favorable record over at Level Up as well. These two guys were together on paper. Wasn't a strong opponent, but that said, the Dyad came out and dominated Jack Farmer. Four men in that ring, four different directions, or three. What do you make of that?
Dante Chen, yeah, you're right. He looked like he was about to be something really special, and then it slowed down a little bit for him. Still talented in the ring. I think I look at the Dyad, and I think to myself, if you're able to wrestle that well while you're weighed down with these hooded cloaks and masks and things, then you've got to be something special in the ring. I was shocked we're able to wrestle in that was incredible. That seemed so uncomfortable, but I was a little bummed out because Joe Gacy did tell us that he was going to reveal who they were this week, and they didn't actually do that. So I felt a little lied to by Joe Gacy, but I let it go because these guys, they're back to doing what they do best, and that's drawing a line in the sand and doing something about negativity. And it made me wonder, Flobo, what are you doing about negativity, you stupid freak?
Just accepting it. Where did that come from, dude? Barbershop window. I'm trying to get away. I am a very positive person. I had to know. On Thursday when I'm hanging with you. I have a lot of questions with this match. I think I mentioned a little bit. Dante Chen, not my favorite pick of the crop, but I really felt that Dante Chen could be a lot further where he was along. So I understand we're going Javier and Barnell, another person, potential for days and spades. But why are the Dyad hanging with Joe Gacy? These guys look like they're a unit as it is. What is Joe Gacy saying that's appealing to them? Because I don't know about you, but it was a time where Joe Gacy was just the guy who spit the facts, as the kids say, about tolerance and acceptance. If I had to hang out with someone like that and I had to dress similarly to hang out with somebody, I would say, you're not really accepting of who I am.
Well, I think it's Joe accepts them. He accepts these veterans who have been in the ring for a long time, these grizzled veterans he does. He appreciates them, but they've been hurt by the negativity for so long that they're embarrassed to show who they are. And he's showing them by putting them in matches with guys like Dante Chen and Javier Bernal and setting them up for success so that they can rebuild that confidence and show the world who they are.
This is literally the Shy Guys from Super Mario Brothers 2. I get it. I totally get it now. That's why I like hanging with you, Jack. You let me know insight I couldn't see myself.
They do look like the Shy Guys. From
that's what it is. I am sold.
That is
so Giovanni, fun. That's how you become a character.
Look, if they called them the Shy Guys instead of the Dyad, I think I'd be so much more invested.
Wait, seriously?
Like the Shy Guys.
Shy Guys,
you can chant too.
Yeah,
like I think Shy Guys is so much better. But
well, if they come out the Shy Guys, we'll know they stole our American Idol team gimmick because they're watching the show. That's what it's all about.
That's yeah, and but, I just want that closure to know. I just
speaking of closure, we finally got ourselves a 1-on-1 match: Duke Hudson, Braun Breaker for the NXT Championship, and well, that was pretty much gone. But Cameron Grimes comes out afterwards, and he has made himself the number one contender and didn't have to kidnap a Steiner to do so. Jack Farmer, Cameron Grimes, I thought he was done after losing the NXT American title, but it seems he and Braun Breaker are heading to the Great American Bash.
I want to give some love to Duke Hudson.
You would!
Because, look, I don't know why. The guy beat Braun Breaker, and then he's like, hey, I beat you. I should get a title shot. And Braun Breaker makes it all weird. And like, yeah, he won the title shot. Why are you being weird about it? I think this match would have gone very differently had the action not started before the bell rang. I think that was a little unfair that it went that way. The referee shouldn't have done things the way they did, but some love for Duke Hudson here. I think he got thrown under the bus a little bit.
You know dang well when a champion goes, let's fight tonight, you go, not tonight. And you pick your date. That's all Duke Hudson's fault.
Oh, so he wants to put on a show for the fans, and that makes him the bad guy.
Yes.
This coming from someone who thinks that Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez aren't the toxic two.
They're not.
They should be.
And I'm going to change that? How? You know, you want Wendy Chu arrested. All right.
But I like that Cameron Grimes came out and he was doing things on another level. This was definitely the best Cameron Grimes has been, I think, since he was fighting for that $1 million championship.
Go on.
I loved the way he was talking. I loved the emotion. I loved the facts he was spitting. I loved that he called out Braun Breaker. I loved that Cameron Grimes basically said a truth, that the only reason Braun Breaker has a title is because of his last name. And look, it shouldn't be because of your last name. It should be because you have a lot of money. And that's what Cameron Grimes has.
So he's the hero? Look, man, I don't know about Mr. and Mrs. Breaker, but poor Braun worked for every opportunity he got. He wasn't handed opportunities.
If he didn't have his last name,
yeah,
he would still be trying to find a way onto network television. And I don't think you should get by on your last name. I think that we should give opportunities to people who are wealthy, just like Cameron Grimes. And I think that Cameron Grimes makes a very good point. Rich people deserve better.
Oh, the old Batman principle. I hear that. But yes, Great American Brass is shaping up. It seems that there's no need for championship contender matches. Just go up to the champion and says, I want to face you. And then bam, that's how it works out here.
In all honesty, it is probably the most wholesome way to do it, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Let's ask our stat person, producer stat person, could you do us a favor and could you let us know what the attacks in the parking lot ratio has been since they've allowed? Don't you have a
producer? You got a producer? I want a producer.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Continue.
A producer. So do me a favor. Can you? Before that people were allowed to just ask for a title match, can you look at before and after and then figure out what the timing for parking lot attacks were and see if we've seen a drop in parking lot violence with the raise in just asking for a title match? Could you do that for me?
Are you paying them? Because I'm not paying them. I'm not paying them a dime.
Oh, for exposure.
Oh, okay, great. Right. I'll give them extra.
I'm not going to say their name or put them on camera, but it's for exposure bucks.
Oh, yeah, man. You make the whole thing work. Dream work and teamwork. Mm. So let's talk about
Speaking of American.
Yes.
They're interns.
That cuts you close to the bone, man. Speaking about opportunities, man, you just ate a fame with Link Blade, number one contenders to the tag team championship because they asked nicely as well against the Creed brothers. Creeds get the win, but Diamond Mine's Roderick Strong ain't too pleased about that. For weeks, we're talking about the dissension in the ranks of the most expensive gym on the planet, Jack Farmer. Could this be a tipping point for them, Diamond Mine?
Watching this match, there's been a slow build up to what I'm about to say when it comes to the Creed brothers, in the sense that since they started, I was like, hey, these guys are okay. And then it was like, hey, these guys are pretty good. Hey, these guys are great. Hey, these guys are really, really incredible tag team. Now I'm saying to myself, these guys are destined for superstardom. These guys are destined to be really big. And I mean, I think they have very, very high ceilings, both of them. And I mean, when I say high ceilings, I'm talking WrestleManias. I think they can go so, so far. They have everything. They have amateur wrestling experience. They have the size. They have the work rate. They have the speed and the muscle, and their ability to improve week in and week out is really unmatched. They're only missing one thing. I think there's one thing that they're missing right now, and that is their ability to just shut up and listen to Roderick Strong.
Savage.
Shut up and listen to the guy who's been there, who's done that. Just listen to the guy, because when they didn't, they almost lost their tag team championships to an unranked team. They are playing with fire, and if they do not listen to Roderick Strong now, it might be too late before they have a chance to fix things. But if they do it now, if they listen to Roderick Strong and they do every single thing he says, the Creed brothers may be something special.
You know, I was pretty much neutral on NFA and Blade, but he just knocked out a Northern Line suplex. I'm a fan now instantly. But the Creed brothers have a little bit of retaliation, setting up Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp for a tag team matchup. Can the Creed even do that, Jack?
They technically no. But Roderick Strong is one of those guys that leads by example. And he always wants to show that he's not afraid to turn away a challenge. He's not afraid of some competition. He's not afraid to be tested. And so when he saw the opportunity to test himself, I think he just jumped right on it. You could kind of see how eager he was, right? He was kind of like, yeah, I want to be able to show just how good I am. And I think it was just really great how he was like, you know what? I'll show you guys how it's done. Hopefully Creed Brothers, they're like watching from the gorilla position and they see just how good Roderick Strong is. And they can go, you know what? Maybe we should listen to him.
Speaking of people who should listen, Jack Farmer, no. Zion Quinn had a match against Wesley, or should I say Wesley had a match where he dominated Zion Quinn. Talk about Dante Chen. Zion Quinn is just a bundle of questions. If I was his manager, I would quit. That aside, Wesley is showing improvement. He's a good singles competitor week in and week in. But question for you, Jack Farmer. One, Wesley's new ceiling now that he's seen the bona fide singles competitor. And two, WTF is going on with Zion Quinn's career?
Zion Quinn's career, I mean, we talk, like, you look and you think of Andre Chase and you think of teachers, but I just watch on and see to myself, look at the amazing development of Wesley since Zion Quinn has kind of put him under his wing and started really helping him grow and helping him mature. I just hope Wesley has been smart enough to take in all this stuff that Zion Quinn has been really teaching him about harnessing his emotions, harnessing his talents, and let it go in the ring. I think Zion Quinn, you know, he didn't get the win here, but I definitely think he's going to be one of those guys that when Wesley potentially is at the Hall of Fame, he's going to thank Zion Quinn.
I got a feeling you're watching like NXT 3.0 because there are things I don't even see this. How was Zion Quinn the good guy here?
That's why I'm the analyst here. You got to read between the lines. Yeah, between the 1.0 and the 2.0, there's a little spot in there. That's where you read.
That's what happens if a producer in your side of the studio, but not mine. Jerk.
Do you have any references for a producer for Corvo? none of your friends want to do it?
Are they just standing there the entire hour? Is that what they're doing?
They're working hard.
Fair enough.
I think. Okay. Not hard enough to get paid.
Let's talk about people who should be getting paid. That poor guy at the diner. Apollo Crews is writing notes to himself. He can see the future or a premonition, or he's here to do something with time. He's a new Kushida. I like Apollo. In fact, I'm wearing his merch as we speak, but I am just plumb confused, Jack Farmer. What was supposed to be Mr. Crews' entry this week?
Yeah, this was weird. I appreciate where Apollo Crews came from, and I appreciate that he's coming back, but I left this feeling like violence is never the answer. You should never attack someone at a restaurant, especially someone who's been waiting over 10 minutes for their meal. I think that that was definitely a situation where Apollo Crews should have minded his own business, or if anything, maybe advise the gentleman that he can go to Yelp, leave a 1-star review, and let everyone know that it takes more than 10 minutes to get your food there, which is wildly unacceptable.
You know damn well 1-star Yelp reviews can ruin careers, you savage. Why would you do that? Why would you advocate for that? That poor lady.
I shouldn't advocate for that. Yelp is the worst website that's ever been created.
Yeah, Yelp is a heel, bro. Yeah. But that said, I thought it was him showing us he is like an action hero, as they say, badass in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But we saw that scene play out, but then it went back in time? Or is it a future thing? Is there a supernatural element to Apollo Crews is what I'm getting at?
What I'm wondering is, when I'm looking at this, and you're right, Flobo, because maybe we didn't realize just how big this is. What if it's not just time that Kushida manipulated, but also the multiverse? Stop. And this Apollo is a Kushida from another multiverse that has now crossed over into the 2.0 multiverse. Oh my gosh, that's the real reason it's 2.0. This is a different multiverse. This is the Kushida of the 2.0 universe.
He's not even here to defend himself. You don't have guests on the show.
That's why we never see him together.
It's not a multiverse, Jack. There's no way, unless. No, there's no way.
Are you sure?
I'm sure, because are you telling me there's a different Natalya that comes down to NXT, or a different Dolph Ziggler that comes down to NXT?
It was. I mean, look, think about it. Okay, hear me out.
I'm hearing you.
Where's his accent?
He doesn't have one.
Where's Commander Aziz?
Commander Aziz is not there.
This isn't the same Apollo Crews. This is a different universe.
You may be honest.
He is the Kushida of this multiverse. I think it's clear as day.
And so the master of time and space will have dinner in a diner in Florida? That was. I mean, you could do a lot more than that. I think you're aiming pretty low.
I think that diner probably is one of those things like in Multiverse of Madness where to the common eye, it looks like
a diner. Oh, right. Yeah. But there's the guy with the swishy.
Yes. Okay. The camera cut off right before Apollo's jacket actually flew off of him and started doing some things.
This is why we're at a 2-time award-winning podcast. let's move on. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. I was going into a tag team match.
We just had a serious conversation about it. It being a different multiverse.
What are we doing? Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams were going into a match with Tony D'Angelo with the newly promoted Stacks and Two Dimes. Melo and Hayes gets the tag team win. And even though Carmelo is the A champion, he is. Yo, if you're not looking, if you're not too careful, Trick Williams has come up so much in the past couple of months in that ring work.
Trick is great. Trick is so entertaining. He's done so much. And I mean, he's with Carmelo, and Carmelo seems to get a lot of the spotlight, but that does not mean that Trick is not doing incredible things. I think Trick is going to be a breakout star very soon. At very big levels here. I think he's phenomenal. My big takeaway with this is Tony D'Angelo seems like actually a pretty nice boss. He's firm. What? He's firm, but he's fair. Like, you know, he's given watches to good employees. He's given them time off. I mean, yeah, when certain people mess up, he's upset, but that's a good boss. A good manager needs to let you know when you're not doing your part. Yeah,
this is actually my next question.
That's what I tell you, right? Whenever you mess up,
are they allowed to
this
speak?
Guy.
Well, Cruz del Toro, the former Raul Mendoza and Santos Escobar are not necessarily employees of the month in the family of Tony D'Angelo.
No, they're not. But I think I'll be honest. You saw Santos Escobar kind of laughing. I think he was thinking to himself, these guys always used to mess up and they were my problem. Now they're your problem, Tony D.
Fair enough. Santos needs his own show. He does the best at emoting. It's like, I know what Santos feels at all times.
He really is. But I was thinking he was laughing. The first thing I thought of is if I felt like those guys always mess things up for Santos in the Legado. The Legados. Now I imagine Santos is like, Tony D, they're your problem.
Where is AJ Galante?
You won them.
Do you know where AJ Galante is? Is that anyone care about him at all? Is he stuck in the multiverse?
It is funny, technically speaking, they should be able to just go get him now, right?
I have no idea.
But no one seems to care. I feel like he's like tied up in a warehouse somewhere. Guys. Yeah.
So next to Last Legends producer and lashing out, just sitting at the same thing. As we got an interesting time, we got to move on, unfortunately. This is the quickest hour ever in podcast history. But we had ourselves a breakout tournament rematch. Tiffany Stratton versus Fallon Henley, which I think as a character, Fallon Henley has found a way to break out a lot more than me. I'm on the fence with Tiffany Stratton. I've been that way for a long time. But Fallon Henley gets a little bit of redemption there. Wendy Chu was around. I know you're going to poo-poo Wendy Chu, but Fallon Henley gets some redemption this week.
There is a lot of poo-pooing to go around in this one. Tiffany Stratton, great job. Really well done. And I just hope Tiffany Stratton understands that she should continue to do the right thing and continue to be ethical and continue to work hard. It'll work out for you. I don't understand why Wendy Chu is getting involved. But the one I'm mad about here, now I'm upset about Wendy Chu, but she has disappointed me for so long with her reckless disregard for how pro wrestling works and getting involved in so many matches. I'm disappointed in her as well, but I'm used to that. Who I'm really disappointed in
I'm used to that.
Is Fallon Henley.
What I'm does she do now?
In Fallon Henley, because she knew. She knew that Wendy Chu got involved. You could see all the glittery stuff in the air. She knew that Wendy Chu got involved. Yeah, she still took advantage. And I think if Fallon Henley, if she had any honor, she would not have accepted this. She would have let the referee know. She would have let the people at NXT 2.0 know. She would have the decision reversed, and she would do the right thing. But Fallon Henley, as far as I know, has not done the right thing, meaning there's no honor with Henley.
I can't believe it. I want to say you're wrong, but they still are gimmick on NXT UK, so maybe you're right, man. Maybe there's no protest for me, and they have no ethics, no morals, no scruples. But yeah. I was impressed by Fallon Henley. I'll get her merch if she had any.
If she has merch that says American Announce Team, I'm going to be so...
Like, seriously, where's that button? There we go. Get yours. Billy, that's last name to go.
They wear American Announce Team, but they're wrestling. Like, what are you even doing? Like, sorry, right. Part of the package we stole.
Like being the four horsemen, but not actually wrestling together.
Yes.
In the interest of time for those burning questions. Jack Farmer, some things that came across my mind. I want your opinions on a rapid fire segment. You down?
Let's do it.
Nathan Frazier has a little bit of a promo time saying he's from Jersey and it's just really smaller than Rhode Island. Okay, yeah. Is he just treading water or is this going to be the peak of Nathan Frazier early?
I think that this is kind of do or die for him. We've seen how good he is in the ring. Now we're seeing a little bit of his personality. Now those two things need to come together.
Sanga was hanging with Valentina for Royce and Luis Leon backstage, and he kind of feels sorry for Zion Quinn. For what reason? I don't know why. What's the deal with Sanga hanging out with losers?
I thought he was the winner in this segment all around, but I think that he's trying to help out Zion Quinn. He's hanging out with the tag team, and I think he's doing good things. I like Sanga. He's one of my favorites. I like seeing him hanging out with people backstage.
He has so much heart. Nikita Lyons, being a victim of pinning her opponents by splitting her legs, had a torn AMCL injury. Was on her way back. Where you put her in the lineup when she does return?
She's one of the most popular wrestlers on NXT 2.0. She's someone who gets Twitter astir every single time she's on. So I got to, if I'm booking, I got to put her somewhere in the, in a featured position. I don't know where it is or what it is, but you got to put her somewhere where she can get some TV time.
Booking. What's that? That's an inside term. Solo Sikoa and Grayson Waller don't seem to be best of friends and they still want next with the NA title. What do you say about that?
I'm just really proud of Grayson Waller for always standing up for himself and always trying to find ways to challenge himself with the very best in NXT.
And lastly, what is the deal with Cameron Grimes and Ido Zenofe?
I think he's helping him. I thought that was really good of him. Say, look, man, the mat, was he wrong? Was Cameron Grimes wrong? The guys lost and they're leaving before the show is over. I mean,
he's not wrong, but what compelled Cameron Grimes to even care is the question.
Because he's a good person.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a good person, but I don't donate to every charity. I did donate to every charity for every urban alive. Learn more about that by following me on Facebook. But I'm saying, Jack, you don't have to give everyone advice that doesn't ask for it.
Yeah, you don't have to, but Cameron Grimes does.
All right, Jack, it's now time for our favorite part of the show. It's now time for that MVP of NXT. Who did it for you this week?
Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but Trent Seven is my MVP.
Really?
Of NXT.
What's the button in the nuts? That's the what?
He had Father Time staring him down, and he had a retirement that was looming, but he said, no, I'm going out on my terms, not on Tyler Bates' terms. He said, I'm going to choose the way this goes down. I'm not going to be cheated by someone like Tyler Bates. And Trent Seven took it into his own hands, and now he's back in control of his career. Trent Seven, easy MVP.
This one's going to be kind of hard for me to explain, but you look at the most important linchpin 2.0 this week, it has to be Carmelo Hayes at North American Championship. Cameron Grimes has moved on to Bron Breakker, tag teamed with Trick Williams this week, and now there's a dust-up to be second or third in line for that championship. You pull him out of the equation, it's a whole new different episode of NXT. Carmelo Hayes is my MVP of the week, and guess what? He didn't hit anybody in the twig and berries there, Jack.
Well, he didn't have someone try to cheat him out of his career either, did he?
No, he did not.
There you go.
Anyway.
Everyone knows when you try to take someone's career, they get walloped in the twigs and berries.
Speaking about career, Jack Farmer's career is hitting the rocket, doing so many things. But I got to say, that Twitch channel is where I like to go every, what, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Tell me more about that there, Jack Farmer.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, we do, or I chat pro wrestling, and I chat with all of you. So if you join the chat, basically, we go over results, we go over news, and every Monday I do a power ranking of wrestlers from all different brands. It's a fun time. We chat. Most people agree. Some people incorrectly argue, but I had a good discussion with Lamb on there about my power rankings, and due to his arguments, I changed one of my power rankings. So your input matters if you go there at 10 a.m. Pacific time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
But never live tweet. But if someone want to connect with you on a personal level, where are you on that social medias, baby?
You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media and follow all the places I'm going and all the things I'm doing, usually talking.
Well, as I sit right now, your boy Flopito is trying to plan a trip to the UK in August or September of this year. Crossing fingers, I get cash to do so. If there's anything you want to let me know to check out, please let me know in the comments below. I do want to see NXT live. I do want to see Manchester City play a game. Anything in that below, the comments below, will be greatly appreciated. Also, have to get a shout out to Denmark. Still on the charts 2 weeks in a row, baby. We are the number one wrestling podcast all the way in Europa. Copenhagen, bitch. DrinkTheGold.com every Thursday. We recap NXT and NXT UK content. It's your boy, Flobo Boys. You can follow me on that Twitter at Flobo Boys or Flobito, FLOBITO, on that Instagram. Whew, that's a lot. But until next time or next week, Jack Farmer, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.